satellite.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned that one could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jerry Kirk, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. This today is Thursday, and in pagan time, it is January 21st, 2010. We will touch base in a couple minutes about time a little bit. But first, there is a responsibility and duty that I must perform. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise and bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son. Your Son who is my master. Your Son who I attempt to be a servant. Who someday maybe I shall be allowed to be called a servant. And maybe some further day I shall be allowed to be called an observant. Father, I ask for your mercy. I ask you to take some of your mercy and give it to those with eyes and ears. And if there is any mercy left in my account, as you have given me so much of my life, I beseech you, take just some of mine or all of mine and spread it out to those with eyes and ears. Because I willingly will take a very bitter pill without mercy. You will grant that mercy to my brothers and sisters. For this material is very difficult for them, and I ask for you to help them with their understanding. But always, Father, it is your will be done, and not just my beseeching. Thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a couple of small announcements. Next week will be the fourth week. And that is the week that I have tried to schedule two guest hosts. However, we are only going to have one guest host. We're going to be having, on the first half hour, an elder of mine by the name of Neil Brockton. He is from Iowa. I have never met Neil. I heard him on another talk show on another station a few weeks ago. I was very blessed to have this gentleman of courage, and not just courage to talk, but to stand up and do things in his life. And I'm surely not blowing up his skirt. He knows that. I'm blessed to have been able to talk to that man. For the first time, we were on the phone an hour and 20 minutes. And for the first 40 minutes, this man was so committed to life. And so dead honest. He didn't pull punches. And I honestly and totally believe that I was blessed talk to that man, and I believe he has something to offer. Now, there is a couple rules for the host guests. They may pick whatever subject they want to, except something like flying purple people eaters. Something that is current events. They will not be interrupted for the first 10 minutes while they're talking, unless they happen to ask me something. I think it's very impolite when I hear people come on as a, you know, to present something, and the host just boom, boom, every 30, 45 seconds, interrupting them so that the individual cannot maintain their train of thought. And I'm hoping that this will be a demonstration that it will catch on to these other hosts that are constantly chipping in and chipping in. Sounds like they got diarrhea of the mouth to me sometimes. Anyway, this man, during those first 10 minutes, he is required to punctuate and make his point with two book chapter and verses from either the Old Testament or directly from what the Christ said in the New Testament. That the guest host will not allow be, they don't sell anything, they don't be given a website or anything of that nature. They're just going to share with you individuals that don't have a radio show and don't have the wherewithal to get 10 minutes or 20 minutes. In the second 10 minutes, because the first 5 minutes, I'll take it up talking. If you want to call this gentleman and ask him a question, you may. I will only speak if he asks me to speak, or if he asks me a question, or if he's a caller and asks me a question. If nobody calls, then maybe I'll ask Neil a couple questions. I will not tell you that I will agree with everything he's going to say, because I don't know what he's going to say, and I don't care. I trust in him and the Lord. However, if there are differences in something, I've got to be as fair as I can and ask him a question or two. I hope this will be an example of fairness that will be adopted by other individuals on radio. The second announcement I'd like to make is this Saturday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock Central Time. I have been invited, and I'm very appreciative, to come on the radio for Positively Unconstitutional. The host is Phil Posderick. He's one of them real little guys that played on the Dallas Cowboys. I'm being very facetious about him being a little guy. But he was a lineman, and always in my life, when I did play football, and still today, I have a great appreciation for the linemen, because in football, you win the game strictly by your linemen, both offense and defense. Phil has asked and expressed a couple things and some phone calls to me, and I like his attitude, and he's trying to share information with folks, and he's willing to dig. So I consider myself blessed to be allowed to come on to his program and share a little bit with you. Now, the material that I think we're going to be discussing will be discussed further down the road on this offering gathering in great detail, but this will allow you folks to get a little taste of what's getting ready to go down. And anyway, so I invite you to tune in to this Saturday at 10 till 12 o'clock Central Time to Positively Unconstitutional on RBN. And I think you'll enjoy Phil. And I've been catching him for a while, and I kind of enjoy him. So anyway, there's where we are. Now, we're going to get to the important subject that I have told you, and the first important subject is time. As you know, last Friday, materials went up for this week. If you looked at the first page, it said page 1 of 7. But when then you turned, you got to a page 6, and then you should have seen a repeat of pages 1 through 5. Those pages 1 through 5 are everything except about 2.5 pages that will be the study material for week 5. By the way, if I didn't mention it correctly, next week is week 4 when we have the guest host. This is a 26-week series deal, 6 months. This is the beginning stuff. I am going to be requesting that the website at freedom-school.com, which puts up all this material at no charge to anybody, that they take it down tomorrow at 12 o'clock, these five pages. So the only people that are going to be able to know what's going on in 2 weeks, you're going to get it by Friday, or you ain't going to get it, and then you're going to wonder why you didn't get an extra couple weeks to study this. It is, I can't imagine anybody, this paper, these pages 1 through 5, which is entitled, What Time of the Day Does the Day Really Begin? An Examination. It would be almost impossible for me to believe that somebody could read this and study this in less than 2 hours. And then I think you'd have to go back and do some contemplation. And I can do this in 2 hours, but I've already done it a bunch. And it's very important. And I really hope that you will read this and understand. This is not just throwing you a fish. A lot of these things, it says you need to read certain words. You need to go back and do some research. And if you don't do the research, you're going to be rather lost. And I really don't want you to get lost. So, this will go down if James in Austin, Texas, is able to take it down at 12 o'clock tomorrow. Those five pages only. So if you've been listening today and you get your act together and everything, you're going to get a chance to study this for an extra 7 days. And I think you're probably going to need it. So anyway, that's what that'll happen. And I believe it'll be a little bit of a taste for you of time. And again, remember, when I begin and open up this little adventure each week, I call it pagan time because it is pagan time. We're going to get the proof out, and you're going to see it in the next coming weeks that you've been totally deceived about time. Okay, now what is on the agenda this week is Chapter 1, Item A, Part 2. If you have not read or and heard the archives from Part 1, which went on last week, this is going to be a little bit hard for you to follow. Last week was to sort of get you a little bit in the frame of mind to be able to understand and read some of this stuff. Now, I cannot read this entire paper here out loud in the time frame that I have. So I'm going to hit some of the high points. To those individuals that do not have a computer to be able to download this, the best I can suggest to you is please call a friend of yours and ask them to download it and to send you a copy by what they call snail mail today. I actually know a lady that she went over to somebody else's place Monday evening, and three other ladies got together at one lady's place that has a computer. They downloaded the program, and they got together, and they all four studied. Now, I found that to be excellent, because that's what you need. You really need a study partner, too. They've got four ladies together studying this. I mean, it's unbelievably great. And so that's what they're doing. And you can do it too. And if you can't get over there, ask somebody to drop in the mail for you. Please. You're not going to be hearing this stuff anywhere else as far as I can find. Everybody else doesn't want you to hear this. So anyway, we're going to start on page 1 and try and do a little flying here. Let's start out. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of thy God, that's Deuteronomy 28:13. Next verse. The stranger that is within thee shall get above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Deuteronomy chapters 28, verses 43 and 44. Now, I'm going to read this next part and try and listen to you that don't have your paper in front of you. In the above, where you see the word commandment, does that mean to you only the Ten Commandments? Now listen to my next sentence. If so, then you are the tail. I'm calling you the tail. not really polite, is it? I'm going to prove to you that you don't want to be that. Where you see the commandments in the text only, where you see that, in Exodus chapter 20, do you see only 10? If so, then you are the tail. Remember where you do go to in Exodus 20, above, at the top of the page, in italics, you're going to see 10 commandments. So it implants in your mind 10 commandments. When you start reading them, you're going to find there's more than 10 there. And then it goes on here. In chapter 20 of Exodus, verses 18 through 22, were removed from chapter 19 of Exodus and placed into chapter 20. All you have to do is read verses 18 through 20 in chapter 20, go back to chapter 19, and I believe it's right about verse 18, and you'll see that those verses that are in 20 belong in 19. And then right after that, you're going to see three more commandments. It's been in front of your eyes, but nobody told you that the books in the Bible are out of date order. I'm telling you that now. Nobody has told you that chapters are out of order. I'm telling you that now. Nobody has told you that verses have been pulled out and put other places. Nobody has told you that entire verses are missing out of the King James. We will be going into that in more detail, especially when we get into like one of the certain verses in the book of Jeremiah for you. We have been deceived. I was deceived. And then 18 years ago, I said, you know, I don't like being lied to. It really aggravates me. And I'm not even allowed to use the type of language that I really would like to express myself about how much it aggravates me. But I decided to dedicate my life to this. And I've been blessed ever since. And I wouldn't change my life for love or money, except for love of the Lord. And I believe I'm trying to do that. Ain't very good, still attempting, servant, but I'm trying. All right, that's like the end of the little get-ready preface. Now, listing here my consulting references, King James Bible, Farrar Fenton Bible, Colonel Thompson Bible, Septuagint, Jasher, Jubilee, Strong's Concordance, also known properly as Stein. And then I say, plus your actual thought as to what you are reading as in contemplation. Now, the first reference to Hebrew in the King James Bible is in Genesis 14:13. In the other reference books, there may be a slight difference in verse. And, of course, when we get into Jubilees and Jasher and so forth, they're completely different. There's no way without making this a really long paper. And while I'm on that subject, the hardest thing about Part 2 of this Section A, Chapter 1, was chopping about 40 or 50 pages down to just these six tight pages. Maybe it was wrong on my part, but, you know, in my experience, it's rather hard to get people to read 40 or 50 pages of technical stuff, and they seem to get lost in it. And that's not being negative to anybody, but, you know, there's really not a whole lot of people. So I tried to boil it down. If I'm in error, I'm in error. But that was my most difficult part, chopping, piecing, and trying to see what I could do to try and put this together. Now, the first reference, as I told you, is in Genesis 14:13, King James. I'm going to read it to you. One escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. In the Septuagint, one rescued told Abram the Hebrew. Now, this is very important in the Septuagint by Brenton. There's a footnote. See the footnote from the Greek. In the footnote, it tells you that the word Hebrew wasn't there and the word passer, P-A-S-S-E-R, was there, but they substituted the word Hebrew. Read the footnote, page 16. In the Farrar Fenton, which he goes to the Greek, a fugitive reported to Abram, the colonist. In the Colonel Thompson, He translated, one who escaped came and told Abram, the traveler. Moving over to page 2. In Jasher, it says, and Eunuch, Abraham's servant, who was in the battle, saw this and told Abram. No further description. Doesn't say he's a colonist, a passer, or a Hebrew. In Jubilees, no description given. So now the question has to be asked, how did passer, colonist, and traveler all of a sudden, automatically, someone in the King James, and then pressured into the Septuagint, throw the word Hebrew in? It didn't exist in the Greek text. It didn't exist in the Latin Vulgate, as a matter of fact. It didn't exist in the proper language, which we'll be getting to. Well, the reason is called deception. Now, I'm going to skip the next paragraph or two. That's easy for people to read. If they can't read it, I don't know how to help them. Now we go to the word Hebrews in the plural. And in King James, we're looking in Genesis 43:32. Eat with Hebrews. However, in the Farfent, the corresponding verse says, eat with foreigners. Jasher and Jubilees, no description of the event. Exodus 3:18, King James. Colonel Thompson, Septuagint, God of the Hebrews. However, in the Farfent, it says, the ever-living God. Now, of course, God is incorrect there. God was the substitution that Farfent fell into. So we've got these differences in common books, and we still, you know, why does one guy want to say Hebrews, and the other one wants to say eat food with foreigners? Well, do you think maybe Farfent understood that the Hebrews were foreigners, maybe? In that verse? Possibly. Could you ask yourself that question? I hope so. Now, we have to go into this study. We look into Strong's theme. And we look at the word 5688. And it's for both Hebrew and Hebrews. And it says that it's for a patron. From 5677, an Eberite, i.e. Hebrew or descendant of Eber. And then I ask the question, have you noticed that the word Eberite never occurs anywhere in any of the listed books? We've now had a new word completely introduced, implanted in your mind that there's Eberites. Never ever occurred. But now you think, well, it must be Eberites. Never occurred. Just a new word. Boom. Thrown in on you. Moving on down. In 5677 of Strength Steins, we're told that Heber is a listed Canaanite in the Bible. And now is a choice, and this Heber is either a patriarch or an Israelite. Now, in Judges 4:11, it says, now Heber, H-E-B-E-R, H-E-B-R-E-W, Hebrew, is either a patriarch, now Heber, the Canaanite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. Now, how many people understand right at this point that a Canaanite is a Canaanite, and a Canaanite is a Canaanite? How can you get that? You can't get it right now unless you do some more study. So now we move to the next section. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law. That's Exodus 18:1. So, now, the Jethro in the Moses part, Exodus, has now become Hobab. Wow, how about that? He's got two different names right there. Now, let's move on to page 3. And when you look up Jethro in Steen, you find his name is Reuel. In Genesis 36:4, you find that Reuel is the son of Esau, Edom, a Canaanite. So then we move over to 74:67, and we say, oh, now his name is Duel, Jethro, and Ragul. How many names has this guy got? However, Steins conveniently drops Hobab when you look up Jethro. They don't want you to make the connection that the Canaanites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, are Canaanites.
there. You can go look this up. I'm not making it up. I'm going to read this. This guy cheats. Ruel was only an Edomite. That's somebody else criticizing me. So they cry. Because they think that Isaac was the only one that had at it with Rebecca. Whoops, that's another story. And this guy always gets sex into the story. Well, what do you think the genealogy spring? Do you think that the seed line, the genealogy of the Christ saying that from your seed, my people shall be chosen? Does your paper hire tell you that that how sex happens is spiritual? Does he tell you that somehow you spiritually impregnate your wife? No. But he sure doesn't want to talk about anything about genealogy to you, does he? Now, I'm going to move into something a little bit quick here, looking at the time. In 5680, and you refer to 5677, you got to read all this. You have about 195 words to choose from when you track all the choices for Eber. So I pick some out. Number one, you could be a raiser of taxes. Number two, you could be shaved. Number three, you could fail. You could meddle in number four. Number five, you could alienate. Number six, you could perish. Or seven, you could decover in copulation. I didn't make that up. It's right there in black and white for you to look. So if you think you are a Hebrew or from Hebrew or listen to a Hebrew, and only seven choices, you can be meddled with, shaved, fail, perish, get copulated, and get your taxes raised as you are alienated. That sounds pretty cruel. Crude. However, isn't that exactly what's going on in this country? Aren't your taxes being raised? Aren't they meddling with you? Aren't they alienate you? Aren't you perishing? Aren't you being kicked out of your homes? That's what they tell you. That's your choices. I'll catch up with you guys at the bottom of the hour. Thank you.
Problem's just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop. Oops, there goes another problem.
Sometimes our .com server goes down, so don't forget, we have a backup, firstamendmentradio.net.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on firstamendmentradio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly.
Again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, that are listening that have eyes and ears. And I do feel sorry for those that don't have eyes and ears, because their stay in the lake of fire is going to be quite uncomfortable. Now, what I'm trying to do is trying to show you that these materials are out there for you to get your eyes wide. I do not want anybody to take my word. I am only trying to save you time to be able to go look this stuff up. Don't take anybody's word. Do your own due diligence. Be a responsible individual and learn it. Don't take my word. I'm just helping you by saying I've done a lot of homework, and here, go read it. Read it. Look, open your eyes. The enemy puts it in front of your face so they can have plausible deniability, and they laugh at you. They scorn at you. They just enjoy.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Jerry.
Hello, how you doing? I didn't hear a ring. I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't hear a ring either. I participated in a lot of talk radio. I tried to call the owner of this station to tell him he has a serious problem with his board operation, or the lack thereof, in that no one can call in and know who's talking to who, et cetera, et cetera. I tried this experiment on the program just before yours, and I sat there, was tied into her program, breathing into the phone, and she wasn't even aware I was there till I spoke up. So I don't know what to tell you, Jerry. I'm very interested in what you have to say, and I would enjoy to be able to participate in this and be able to talk with you. Can you hear me?
Yes, and I'm very happy, because in the previous weeks I couldn't hear. I mean, I was straining to barely hear a voice, but it's much better from what I'm hearing from your end. Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, it's a little bit down below a normal telephone conversation, which I can understand that, but apparently they do not have a live breathing board operator that can manipulate the calls and put a little tone insert into your audio so that you know that a caller's even on the line. So,
well, I know that in the past maybe they're having technical problems, because I've listened to Randy Yarbrough's show and a number of other people's, and I hear a ring, so I don't know if they're having technical problems, but maybe the guys in the studio can work on that. But I am hearing you well right now, and that's a great improvement over the first 2 weeks. So we're making progress, and I can only apologize to you, but, you know, I am trying to do something a little different in a study course here, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate your interest and your calling in and informing me this. Thank you.
Well, I am a licensed FCC engineer with the first class radio telephone license with radar endorsement. I have run audio at major TV stations in the Midwest. And I'm here to tell you that they either have an automated system with no announcements for callers coming online, which kind of scares me a little bit. I'm liable to say something I don't want to go out on the air not realizing I'm on the air. And if this is so automated that there's no people there to do this thing right, I have a problem with that, Jerry, but I'm here to tell the listeners that I have spoke to you privately over some several hours, and I'm here to tell the folks that this man knows his Bible, this man knows his law, this man knows his politics, this man knows government, and it's one of those things you've got to. It's kind of like having a baby. You got to go through a lot of birthing pains to get the thing going. But you folks hang in there, pay attention to this man. You're going to learn one hell of a lot. That's all I got to say, Gary.
Well, Gary, thanks for calling in, and I appreciate the kind words. But you know, I'm always trying to sharpen my sword, and I'm always trying to redo and relearn. And I understand that anybody that thinks they know it all, they're an idiot. And I'm constantly working, and I enjoy, the most thing I enjoy, to be honest with you, in the last 18 years, is when somebody asks me a question, and I don't know the answer, and I haven't studied that subject. Because, buddy, now I've got something to do, and I tear into the books, and I've had some of the most quiet, reserved people that hardly speak come up with some of the most intelligent questions. And I've had to actually work 2 and 3 months to search for those answers to their questions. And that's what blows my skirt up, is when somebody gets me into a subject about, you know, the Word of God that I have no familiarity, and I just have to shut up. And I go, I can't wait to go home and start studying. And that's really what motivates me. But thank you for giving me a jingle. I appreciate it, Gary. And anyway, Gary, what's your last name? What county and state are you in, please?
My name is Gary Nelson. I'm in the woods out here near Melbourne, Arkansas.
All right, thank you. I appreciate, you know, people being able to have some positive credibility to your comments. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, the bottom third of page 3 is how you love yourself. I'm not going to read it. But if you don't do it, I'm going to tell you you don't love yourself. But if you don't want to look in the mirror, I can't help you. So I hope you will look in the mirror. Now, moving on to page 4, and I'm going to move a little faster here, guys. In Genesis, King James, Genesis 14:13, the first occurrence of Hebrew occurs. However, 13 years prior to that, in the 40th Jubilee, the 6th week, the 5th year, the 7th month, the first day, then in Jubilees 12, in chapter 12, verses 17 through 28, I'm going to read just one of them. And I opened his, that's Abram's mouth, and his lips, and I opened his ears, and I began to speak with him in Hebrew.
see, Abram had eyes and he had ears. Okay? And it says here, and I began to speak with him in Hebrew, in the tongue of creation. Now, you've got a description here. Tongue of creation. Well, Eber wasn't around at creation, was he? You think about that? Now, I'm going to read this, and you're going to have to read it again and again. The Masoretic Hebrew Bible, the only one, the only Hebrew Bible, was compiled by the universally pagan Catholic Church, and that's what they are, between 600 and 900 A.D. And it was first published, limited, in 1020 A.D. The UPC, Universal Public, or Pagan Catholic, hired about 300 Pharisee rabbis to translate the Latin Vulgar, into Hebrew. Prior to the dates above, there were never any scriptures in Hebrew. That is a historical fact. It is not arguable. There never was any scriptures from the Old Testament in Hebrew. Never. And yet you've been led to believe that Hebrew's the tongue. Now, I put a quotation. The oldest known Hebrew manuscript of the Old Testament dates from the 9th century A.D. This is from the preface of the Goodspeed Bible. It's page XIII, page 13. There are dozens of other sources. I just happen to have a copy of that, and I thought it'd be unusual because most people haven't heard of a Goodspeed Bible. Now, the tongue of creation is descriptive. The name that I've been able to learn, and that maybe there's a slightly different name, the ancient language of the angels. Some people throw the word mystical in there, which I'm sure is incorrect, but it's thrown in there for you to help you find this ancient language of the angels. Now, the rest of this paragraph is a good description of how to find a book. And when you find that book, and when you turn certain ones of them upside down, then you can actually see the letters, which are known as signs, in their form. If you go to a certain satellite height in North Arkansas across a 10-mile high area and about 40 miles wide, you will find YHWH spelled out by three mountains, but the Y is spelled out by river. And it's in reverse order because the ancient language was always read from right to left, not left to right. This is for the diggers. We only need to have one or two people dig this out, call in a couple weeks, say, good God, I found that book. You can find it on the Internet, kids. All right, now the next part gets a little bit tricky. So I'm not even going to read most of it because you're going to have to read it two or three times. When I just read it out loud to you, you're not going to get it. I can't get it just one read. You're going to have to read it. However, I'm going to go to the last paragraph. When Abraham's name was changed, the Bible, the King James says Abraham. Well, I'm for the first time, and there's people know me for years, I'm going to tell you that wasn't his name. It was Abraham. Why in the world would the Lord want to name Abram after Ham, the Canaanite? Doesn't make any sense. Ask yourself that question. That's been in front of your eyes. I've been dying to want to bring that out for a long time, and I've saved it from even the people that I've took and studied with for a long time, because when I did it, I wanted to have as many people as possible to take a look at it. And, oh, can I prove it in black and white? No, common sense, folks. Why would you name the where all the seed of Jacob and everything that he talks about, the chosen people, after Ham? Think about it. That's right in front of your eyes, deception. Do you think that Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and Shem and Joseph and even Esau and Duel, called Eber, Not likely. Not likely. Because Heber didn't come around till afterwards, until you'd start learning what the actual real name, where it comes from. I'm going to move down to paragraph 5 on page 5. One last point of thought. In Matthew 15:24, and I quote here, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And right in black and white, I ask the question, can anyone please show me any Bible which says the lost sheep of the house of Hebrew? You've changed it in your mind because you've been led by your pontificators and your preachers, that the Christ says, these preachers have destroyed my tenderest and destroyed my vineyard. They don't want you to know the truth. Now, they didn't, all of them are not, you know, with foresight and knowledge. They were just misled, and they just said, well, we'll just go along and get along. You open your eyes, do due diligence. Read this paper, ladies and gentlemen. There's no way you can read this paper and study this paper in 1 hour. You got to set yourself up a study thing and start hammering. Once you hammer this and you learn it solid, then you're qualified to go out and share it with your neighbors and your brothers and your sisters, those with eyes and ears. Now, I'm going to just tell you that if you don't read the last third of page 5 and you don't follow this through and you don't go look it up in your Strong's Team, you're not going to get it again. I can't read this out loud and have you understand it. It's impossible for me. I'm not good enough to read this out loud. I know that any individual that's diligent is going to have to read this. They're going to have to go look it up. They're going to have to take and look it in black and white. And you're going to have your books open. This is just to explain a little bit for you guys. I'm going to go to where I got a little ahead of myself. I'm on page 6. Pay for hires and pontificators. Don't you love my typing the way I didn't do so good on my typing? And I quote, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Well, where have you been learning your Bible from? People like me, I doubt it. Are you being listened to preachers and pontificators? People that say, oh, Jesus, just say Jesus, you go to heaven. They fail to tell you what James says. Show me a man's deeds and I'll show you a man's faith. And then James says, faith without deeds is dead. So where's all this faith going to do you if you ain't out there actually accomplishing and doing something? And then underneath it I have Hebron. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem. And I put in brackets there to trace you back. You can do this in your book. Jerusalem was known as Jebus, the city of the Jebusites. You want to know where they are? It's called Jerusalem today. You know what their name before that? Jebus. And then before that, actually, I didn't put it in, was Salem. And then before that, it was called Shalem. And then before that, it was called Shamlam. S-H-A-M-L-A-M. The land of Ham. That's what that means. Now I'm going to condense the story, and I'm going to read. Abraham and his people dug wells in the plains of Mamre, which are in the land of the Philistines of Hebron. The locals interfered, and Amalek, the king of the Philistines, heard of this and beat a path to Abraham's location. Abraham rebuked said king, who at the time was the most powerful of all the Canaanite nations. Abimelech issued an order to all kings, that's kings of the entire world, to hands off Abraham. Now you may go to the book of Jasher, chapter 12, and read this. And you're going to find out where the next paragraph comes from. This is why so many Canaanites referred to the powerful God of the Hebrews, which they erroneously assumed to be Abraham's God, since the protection order was given by Abimelech. And obviously Abimelech was not Abraham's ever-living, almighty Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father in heaven. It's just that simple. However, if you didn't have the first five pagers, and I just read that to you, do you think you'd be willing to believe it? And if you don't go read the other pages, and you don't study them, you're not doing due diligence, and you're not going to crawl out of the mud, and you're not going to get your eyes wide. I am not here to put a funnel in your mouth and pour it down your throat. My job is only to share with you and to take and help you condense the amount of time of research. That little six pages there, I probably have 250 to 300 hours of hard open book work to get to that. I don't want any credit for that. I love doing it. And my job is to help you know where to go look so that you can go look and say, boom, there you go. You didn't have to read every single verse of the Bible two or three dozen times like I have. I've read the book of Jasher at least two dozen times. I've read the book of Jubilees probably 15, 16 times. The book of Enoch, I've read at least 100 times, and I'm still in kindergarten on that one. How can a man read a book 100 times? That's a really tough book, guys. Now, I can make it, and we will in the coming weeks make it easier. But, you know, when you got nobody that's talked about that stuff, time. Next week, we're going to have our guest host, and I'm sure that y'all will be very... Listen, now, Neil is one of our elders, and he has a cell phone, and this man has something to say. I'd love to be able to just listen to him for 2 hours solid. And I think you're going to gain something by listening to this man. And we have not had any type of intense discussions about law or the Bible. I just listened to his life. And I sure hope you all will gain something by this gentleman. He's a man of courage. He's a man that has stood up in the past. And he didn't wait for 10,000 people to get on his side. He stood up. And I feel like this is a blessing to have run across this man and to be allowed to have him come on. And I sure hope you'll gain something. And that's about as good as I can do. And I am looking for other folks that, you know, I randomly come across that have the right attitude and the right tone. Because week 8, I hope to have two guest hosts then and turn that hour over to them. Now, I did have another guest host, but that individual said, you know, I've been reading and listening to your stuff, and I think I better listen a little bit. Boy, was I impressed. I sure hope that individual wants to come on soon, maybe in week 12 or so. I was impressed. I've been reading your stuff, and I think I better shut up and listen and learn. It's one of them four ladies. Guys, the girls are kicking our butts. There's girls out there doing a real good job. My salute, my attaboys to you girls up there in Ohio. Attaboy. Oh, I guess I should say attagirl. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the seventh appointed day. It starts at 12 noon on Thursday and ends at 12 noon on Friday. And the sooner you get it through your head and the sooner you start not working and buying and selling and not having conjugal relations, the sooner your eyes and ears will open. How they'll open, I don't know, but I know enough people that have done it, and their lives change. The seventh appointed day, Thursday at noon, adjusted for your area, 12:17 here. Till Friday, 12:17, that's here. You don't buy and sell. You don't do manual labor. Yeah, you feed your animals. You feed yourself. You rest. You study the Word of God. Rest means take a good long nap. Get the stress out of yourself. Listen to some nice music. Relax. The Lord orders you to relax every seventh day. And Thursday at noon to Friday at noon is. Now get started, you folks, and learn what time of the day starts. It's there in black and white. And I guarantee you that I could put a lot more than them five pages. And I want you that have eyes and ears to feel the way that my life has changed. In other words, I want you to feel like I feel. I look forward to life. I look forward to every adventure because I love, the best thing I really love is rooting out evil. That's what I love. And I then by rooting out evil, then I can turn around and I can help my brothers and sisters. And I sell nothing. I charge nothing. And you may not send me a monetary donation. But you know what you can do? You can learn this stuff and you can make the donation you're required to do. Find your brothers and sisters with eyes and ears and share it with them. And when you run into a ding-dong that ain't got eyes and ears, don't be disappointed. There's more of them than there are of us. But we're more powerful. And when we become standing in the shadow of the Christ, that is how we gain our power. But we do it by our action, not by our works. And you must stand up. And you must be counted. Name, county, state. And I don't give a damn whether or not the Canaanites know my name. I stand for my master. And that's the attitude that each of us must have. And when you accept your death and you understand that's the greatest adventure yet to happen, you now are starting to taste life. And it's all good. It's all good. Because you have no fear except fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Think about that. And next week, let's try to have a couple of people clear
the problem.
And they'd be real nice.
Now,
and I hope you'll listen to Neil. He's a real fine
simply hold.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
To rush would be.